ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। गंगा माई यमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानत मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चाति दशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत कदादा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। We would like to welcome all the devotees for our Sunday feast program. So today we are going to discuss on the topic of qualities of Sri Krishna. Essentially, we will focus our discussion from the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and also from the Srimad Bhagavatam. First, we would talk about the importance of the need to discuss about the qualities of Krishna. So one of the needs of a human being is that the need of a hero. So everyone wants a hero or a role model which he can follow in his life, which he can get attracted and want to, like nobody in this world can stop hearing about somebody or glorifying somebody. So only the choice is like whom you want to glorify, whom you want to hear about, and whom you want to actually worship. Prabhupada writes in a place in the first canto that these principles of hearing, glorifying and worshipping, this cannot be avoided by anybody. The only choice is like which person whom you want to glorify. Because we see that time and again, even if people don't want to worship some god or some devata or some demigods or somebody, so they end up worshipping, they end up practically worshipping some leader or some political star, some political leader or some sports star or some film star. So it cannot be actually avoided. And the why we want to discuss about the qualities of Krishna is here is that, so here we are proposing an alternative for the need to have a hero in our life. So when you are proposing an alternative, we need to actually discuss that why Krishna is a right alternative as a hero in our life. Like once Srila Prabhupada was having a, he's having an interview with some reporter somewhere in Australia. So that reporter was asking that, so in that interview that, so that reporter asked that, so I heard that you worship a blue god. So then Krishna, Prabhupada actually showed the photo of Krishna. And then he said, yeah, we worship Krishna. Yeah, he is having a bluish complexion. And so that reporter was in a challenging mood. So why do you worship this particular god? So Prabhupada said that, yeah, I am ready to worship some other alternative if you have some alternative. If you propose some alternative who can be actually better than Krishna, who can be better than Krishna in the display of the qualities, then we are ready to worship him. And if you cannot actually give an alternative, even according to the rules of democracy, suppose some election is taking place, and if suppose if there is nobody who is actually standing in opposition, then whoever is actually standing for the election, he is declared as a winner. So if you cannot actually, we worship Krishna because Krishna is full with all the six opulences. And if we can propose an alternative, then we are ready to worship that person. And if we cannot give an alternative, then you have to accept our choice. So in that way Prabhupada proposed. So we want to, before we discuss about the qualities of Krishna, of course, Srila Rupa Goswami, qualities of Krishna are actually unlimited. And Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he has described 64 qualities, just for actually our understanding. But even those qualities, we won't be discussing all the qualities beyond the range of today's discussion. But we will discuss some of the qualities given by Rupa Goswami. But before we discuss those qualities, we need to understand the nature of Krishna in which he actually displays the qualities. We need to understand how Krishna displays his qualities. We need to understand the philosophy and the concept behind Krishna displaying qualities and others displaying qualities. So there are many people in this world, they also display different qualities. Somebody is attracted to maybe some film star for that person's beauty. Somebody is attracted to an intelligent person for his intelligence. Somebody is attracted to maybe some political leader. Or people are attracted to maybe Jesus for his compassion. Or one may be attracted to Mahatma Gandhi for his non-violence principle. One may be attracted to Socrates for his knowledge and scholarship. So in this way, different people display different qualities and people are attracted to different people for their qualities. But in the case of Krishna, when Krishna displays the different qualities, in fact Krishna displays all the qualities displayed by all these personalities whomever one may get attracted to for the qualities which they display. Krishna actually displays all the qualities, but the essential characteristic of Krishna is that Krishna does not display these qualities as a resolution. In the sense that Krishna is not bound by those qualities. For example, when somebody in this world, when a person displays certain quality, many cases that person displays that quality as a resolution. It means, for example, say somebody displays the quality of being non-violent. So when he displays that quality as a resolution, when he is determined to display that quality in all circumstances, then it can also lead to exploitation by other people. Because every quality in this world, it has a flip side also. Like, take for example, non-violence. Yeah, non-violence is a good quality, but it also has a flip side in the sense that when a person is non-violent in all circumstances, then he will be exploited by violent people. And that's what happened during the independence of India. So when one particular leader, when he showed his determination to display the quality of non-violence, that led to the killing and violence by the other community. For example, determination is a good quality, but when a person is all the time determined in his vows, then it also has a flip side in the sense that a person can become stubborn about his particular vow. So determination, although it is a good quality, but the flip side of it is that a person can tend to be stubborn about a particular point. So therefore, one of the main difference between Krishna displaying the qualities and others displaying the qualities is that Krishna does not display those qualities as a resolution for all time to come. Krishna is not bound by those qualities. Krishna, for Krishna, the qualities are not the goal. But whereas Krishna uses the qualities as a tool for the sake of establishing dharma, for the sake of doing good to the people of this world. So that is although it is described that, qualities of Krishna are actually eternal. In the first canto, when there is a discussion between dharma personified and Mother Earth, then that time Mother Earth describes the qualities of Krishna, and there she mentions that, so these qualities are present in Krishna eternally. They are present all the time, eternally. Even at the time of annihilation, Krishna continues to have these qualities. But Krishna has these qualities eternally. At the same time, Krishna manifests those qualities according to the need of the hour, according to the need of the situation, as it is demanded by the situation. So this is the fundamental difference between Krishna and others in the display of the qualities. And so that is why Krishna is in the personality of Krishna. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. In that way, he acted like a philosopher. So somebody who is a philosopher, who is a grave person, he's speaking different philosophy, different concepts. But is it Krishna all the time a philosopher? No. Krishna also plays jokes with his cowherd boyfriends. So, but is Krishna all the time playing joke with his cowherd boyfriends? No. Krishna also is like death personified for Kamsa. So in this way we see that various aspects of Krishna's personality. Krishna definitely gave mercy to Putana, one who came to kill Krishna, but Krishna gave the position of mother to Putana. But is Krishna all the time merciful? No, to the same putana, Krishna did give punishment. Krishna did give punishment, and then he also showed, displayed mercy. Like, in the sense that putana experienced, like what, suppose a person has got cancer, and he goes through painful situation, and the pain is actually increasing day by day. And whatever pain which a person experiences over a period of 6 or 8 months, just imagine if that pain comes to that person in one moment, all the pain put together, it comes in one moment. In that way, actually Krishna gave pain to Putana. Because Putana had killed so many innocent babies. So the punishment, Krishna did give punishment to Putana. But when Krishna gives punishment, the punishment will be given only in a way that it will elevate the person. Never in a way to actually degrade the person. So Krishna did give punishment to Putana. And Krishna did show mercy to Putana. So we see the various facets of Krishna's personality, the diversity in Krishna's qualities. According to the situation, he displays the quality. So that is why Krishna is like an expert mother who takes care of many children, understanding the needs of the children. Understanding the needs of the children at the different times and acts accordingly. So therefore, that is why we say that Krishna is all attractive and Krishna is ever relevant. So Krishna's, the personality of Krishna is ever relevant because he displays the different qualities according to the need of the time, according to the need of the situation. And so this is the fundamental difference. And then, for example, just to give some example for this, like for, although I already gave the example of, say, somebody displaying the quality of non-violence as a resolution. So like, for example, in the scriptures, we have the example of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev, in the Mahabharat, he took a vow, like when his father wanted to marry the daughter of a fisherwoman. But the father of the fisherwoman was not ready to give his daughter because he wanted the son who will be born through his daughter should be the king. So when Bhishma Dev came to know this, and Bhishma Dev told him that actually I will not become the king. Then that father of the fisherwoman, he asked that, what if actually your son wants to become the king? When you get married, then your son will demand that he would want to become the king. Then Bhishma Dev said, I also take a vow to never get married. And Bhishma Dev also took a vow that I will always protect the kingdom of Hastinapur. In this way, Bhishma Dev took these vows. But Bhishma Dev, he followed these vows, but although these vows were being exploited by the evil-minded Duryodhan. So Bhishma Dev had complete selflessness, he had absolutely a selfless attitude, but his selflessness was exploited by the selfish Duryodhan. Or Bhishma Dev's selflessness was engaged in the service of selfish Duryodhan. And although Bhishma Dev saw that his selflessness was being exploited by a selfish Duryodhan, but still he did not become flexible in his vows. But he continued to follow those vows. So he displayed the quality of determination. He followed the vows, but actually because he was stubborn about his vows, that his following of the vows, it was exploited by the evil-minded Duryodhan. On the other hand, we see in the case of Krishna, Krishna also took a vow before the battle of Kurukshetra that he would never lift a weapon. But Krishna, when the need arose, he actually took up the broken chariot wheel in order to attack Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was actually about to kill Arjuna. So Krishna was flexible. Krishna was actually flexible that he took a vow, he did take a vow, but then when the situation demanded for the sake of establishing dharma, because his eternal vow is to establish dharma. And the temporary vow was to actually not to lift a weapon during the battlefield. So Krishna gave preference to the eternal vow instead of the temporary vow of actually lifting the weapon in the battlefield. Because the eternal vow of establishing dharma is more important than the temporary vow. This shows that Krishna was not stubborn about his vows. So therefore, the scriptures, dharmic scriptures, they teach us to be flexible. They teach us to be flexible, but not at the cost of becoming a restless person. Sometimes one may say, flexible means, okay, flexible means a person can become a restless person. He may keep breaking the vows every time. Yeah, scriptures teach us to be flexible, but not at the cost of being restless all the time. And dharmic scriptures, they teach us to be steady, but not frozen to the level of being inactive. But not in the sense of becoming stubborn about a particular thing. So therefore, we have to, scriptures, they teach us to follow the dharma, but at the same time the scriptures talk about, they also talk about, we need to understand the higher principle and the lower principle. They teach us that, they also teach us about the temporary dharma and the eternal dharma. We need to harmonize the temporary dharma with the eternal dharma of devotional service to the Lord. But at the same time, when the temporary dharma comes in way of serving the Supreme Lord, then we discard the temporary dharma. In that sense, the scriptures teach us to be flexible, but not in the sense of all the time breaking some, being a restless person. They teach us to be steady, but not in the sense of being stubborn. So this kind of flexible in displaying the qualities, we also see in the example of Krishna's devotees also. For example, there is a devotee of Krishna, Prithu Maharaj, which comes in the fourth canto. So one of the quality of Prithu Maharaj is explained that Prithu Maharaj was, in his determination, he was like Mount Sumeru. Just like nobody can move the Mount Meru, when Prithu Maharaj is determined to do something, when he takes a sankalpa, when he is determined to do something, nobody can shake him from his determination. So Prithu Maharaj had actually taken a sankalpa that I would perform 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. But when he performed 99 sacrifices, when he was performing the 100th sacrifice, Indra came and he came in the disguise of a sannyasi and he actually stole the horse which was meant to be sacrificed. Because he felt insecure that, oh, he is going to occupy my position. He's competing with my position. So Indra was actually coming in the dress of a sannyasi and stealing the horse. And because he was in the dress of a sannyasi, so son of Prithu Maharaj went and got back the horse, but he did not punish Indra because he was in the dress of a sannyasi. So on seeing this, many other people, they took wrong inspiration from Indra. They thought that, oh, if Indra can go unpunished because he is in the dress of a sannyasi, although he is doing a wrong activity, then we can also take up the dress of a sannyasi and do wrong activities and we will not get punished. So in this way, this incident led to the propagation of many adharma. Many people took wrong inspiration from this example and Indra was coming again and again in the dress of different sannyasis. to steal the horses. So then, but Prithu Maharaj was determined to perform the 100 sacrifice. Again and again he was coming and stealing. And then finally Prithu Maharaj became so angry, he was about to kill Indra. So that time, Lord Brahma comes from his abode. And then he gives instructions to Prithu Maharaj that you have actually appeared in this world for the purpose of establishing dharma. Prithu Maharaj is the Shaktyavesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord. You have appeared in this world for the purpose of establishing dharma, but you are continuing to perform the 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice. It is leading to the propagation of adharma. It is serving the exact opposite purpose, which you are not able to see that. Because many people are taking wrong inspiration from the example of Indra, and they are actually, they are trying to do wrong activities and dress up as sannyasi. So therefore, actually it is destined that you cannot perform the 100th sacrifice, better you stop performing the 100th sacrifice. This way, because it's a beautiful story which comes in more detail. But here, what I want to focus is that Prithu Maharaj, on hearing the advice of Lord Brahma, although he had taken the sankalpa to perform the 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but he became flexible and he stopped performing the 100th sacrifice. So you see the quality of determination. He had the quality of determination. At the same time, he displayed flexibility. Another example from the life of Prithu Maharaj. One of the qualities of Prithu Maharaj is about his tolerance. In his tolerance, he was compared to Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is the symbol of tolerance. So Prithu Maharaj, he was compared to Mother Earth in his display of tolerance. But at the same time, when all his citizens were actually starving because of hunger, they were not getting the food grains, and Prithu Maharaj was actually thinking for a long time as what is the cause for the starvation. Then he understood that actually Mother Earth is not supplying the foodstuffs. So when he understood that, and then they felt all the citizens are performing the sacrifice, but still the Mother Earth is not supplying the foodstuffs. Then Prithu Maharaj, after a deep contemplation for a long time, then he became so angry with Mother Earth, and he took up a bow and arrow to attack Mother Earth. And then Mother Earth took the form of a cow in order to flee from Prithu Maharaj. But still, Prithu Maharaj did not get carried away by the external form of a cow. He continued to chase Mother Earth. Only when Mother Earth agreed to give all the food grains and vegetables, etc. But here again we see the flexibility in the display of quality by Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj, in his tolerance, is compared to Mother Earth. But when he saw that the citizens in the entire planet were starving, in order to feed the starving citizens, he actually compromised in his quality of tolerance. In fact, he became violent. And whom did he become violent with? He actually displayed his violence towards the very symbol of tolerance, that is Mother Earth. So we see that this is the, because Krishna displays the qualities according to the demand of the situation, according to the need of the situation for the sake of establishing dharma. So Krishna's devotees also, although they have determined, but still they are flexible. Although they are tolerant, but the situation demands, they can also become violent. So Krishna did speak the Bhagavad Gita, for what purpose? So that Arjuna can fight the battle. And the battle of Kurukshetra, I couldn't get the exact figures, but the number of people who are killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, it is much greater than the number of people killed in the wars from 1 AD to maybe 2000, like so far, so many thousands of years. One may wonder, like, how can actually Krishna be instrumental, inspire Arjuna to kill such a huge number of people? But that was needed for the establishment of dharma. So the same Krishna, who displayed violence towards the different enemies, at the same time Krishna also showed compassion and mercy towards different people. So therefore, before we understand the Krishna's qualities, we need to understand this particular quality of Krishna, that is the flexible nature of Krishna's qualities. Otherwise, because we also teach different good qualities, we teach value education, we teach different qualities to the children or the adults, different people. But we also need to understand that each quality has a flip side. So therefore, we also need to teach them the quality of being flexible and displaying the quality according to the need of the situation. Because each quality has its need in a particular situation. Otherwise, if we only focus on that particular quality as the goal, then sometimes that quality can be exploited by somebody else. So therefore, this particular nature of Krishna's quality of being flexible, that needs to be clearly understood. Then there is another beautiful verse, the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there is a description about Lord Ram. There is a verse which says that Sadhu Vada Vikashanaya. So the residents of Kimpurusha Varsha, they offer praise to Lord Ram. They say that you are like the touchstone, like when there is a touchstone, for example, it is said that touchstone is actually, we may not have experience of a touchstone, but traditionally a touchstone is used to examine the quality of gold. So there is something called as gold testing stone. It is actually used to examine the quality of gold. So here Lord Rama is compared to a touchstone. Just like a touchstone examines the quality of gold, he is saying that you are like a touchstone which verifies all the good qualities. That means when there is a real gold, when that real gold is actually rubbed against a touchstone, then it is verified that it is real gold. So similarly, when a good quality is placed on Lord Ram, then that good quality is actually accepted as a good quality because it is placed on Lord Ram. So therefore, just as the best gold is proved to be excellent by the testing stone, so all good qualities are proved to be excellent when placed in Lord Ram. So, on the same topic of when Krishna displaying qualities, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes amazingly about four types of personalities. So there are different psychologists, they talk about different types of personalities. For example, according to Ayurveda, so they talk about somebody's kapha personality, pitta personality or vata personality. So they say that, so they have typical characteristics of somebody whose kapha prakriti is more. So such a person behaves in a particular manner. Pitta is more, that means like maybe fast moving. Kapha prakriti is more, that means a person does everything very slowly. Like the different characteristics are there. So usually, different people have different types of personalities. For example, certain modern psychologists, they also talk about four types of personalities. They talk about different four types of personalities, and they give different characteristic traits for different personality types. So similarly, Rupa Goswami also talks about four types of personality traits. He calls it as Dhira Lalita, Dhira Shanta, Dhiro Data, and Dhiro Data. So for example, he gives different qualities for each of this personality type. Says Dhira Shanta means, first he says Dhiro Datta means a person who is inscrutable, modest, tolerant, merciful, determined in vows, and who is not boastful, and who obscures others' pride, is called as an Dhiro Datta personality. And he gives an example of such a personality type is Lord Ram. Lord Ram displayed this kind of personality traits. And the second type of personality type is Dhira Lalita, one who is clever and one who is always endowed with fresh youth, who is skillful at joking, who is like a carefree person. Who is like a carefree person and who is controlled by his devotees or followers. Such a person is called as Dhira Lalita. And then he says, the example of this kind of personality type is Cupid. That means like somebody who is flirt, only is, let's say, going after somebody who is like carefree, who doesn't want to take any responsibility, or who is going after women, or who is joking all the time. So that's like a Dhira Lalita type of personality. And then another type of, Cupid is an example for that. The third type of personality trait is that Dhira Shanta. That means a person who is peaceful, tolerates suffering, uses discrimination, possesses qualities like modesty, is called as Dhira Shanta personality. And an example of a person who had this type of personality type is Yudhishthir Maharaj. And the fourth type of personality is that Dhira Datta. So first is Dhiro Datta, the fourth is Dhiro Datta. So Dhiro Datta means a person who shows envy, pride, deceit, anger, fickleness, and one who has a boastful nature. This is like, this is called as Dhiro Datta. So Bhima many times would display this type of personality types, display these qualities. So if you see, like ordinarily in this world, if somebody has Dhira Shanta type of personality, he will not have Dhiro Datta, being envious, boastful, being angry or fickleness. Somebody who is Dhira Lalita, is having a Dhira Lalita type of personality, he will not display the quality of Dhira Shanta or Dhiro Datta. But the speciality of Krishna is that, this rule, usually in this world, somebody with Dhira Shanta, he cannot be a Dhira Lalita. But this rule does not apply to Krishna. It does not apply to Krishna, because Krishna displays all these type of personality types according to the different situation. According to the need of the situation. So we have to get fascinated by these qualities. Because unless we know about the personality type, like people, they are going after different heroes, but do we accept a hero just because he acts nicely in the movie? We have to examine in real life what sort of qualities he actually displays. In real life, he may be a zero actually. So we have to understand the nature of a personality. So the fourth type of personality is Dhiro Datta. Dhiro Datta means one who shows envy, pride, deceit, anger, fickleness. So these qualities are actually some negative type of qualities. So how can the Supreme Lord display these negative qualities? How can he display these negative qualities? Actually, the fact is that absolute truth means what? One who is perfect and complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. He is perfect and complete. In order for him to be complete, he should have all the qualities, even those qualities which appear to be negative. So these qualities are actually negative qualities. In fact, there's a statement in the Purana, I forget which Purana. So that Purana actually talks about 18 faults. 18 faults like bewilderment, sleep, envy, material attachment, material lust, intoxication, envy, violence, working hard, becoming hungry, becoming thirsty. Many negative qualities are there. But Rupa Goswami says that Krishna also displays these qualities. Krishna also displays these negative qualities. But when Krishna displays these qualities, Krishna displays these qualities in relation to his devotees. In order to display his affection towards the devotees, he becomes envious of the demons. He becomes angry with the demons. But in order to increase the love of the devotees, sometimes he actually displays the quality of being hungry. Or sometimes he displays the quality of being bewildered. So even the apparent negative qualities are displayed by Krishna in order to increase the love of the devotees, in order to show his affection towards the devotees, and in order to destroy the demons for the sake of the welfare of the whole world and even for the welfare of that particular demon also. So we see that all these four type of personality traits are present in Krishna. That is something like, if you just try to think about it, it's really fascinating. And the next aspect of Krishna's qualities, we will talk about the unlimited nature of Krishna's qualities. So there is a Parashara Bhatta is one of the Acharya in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And Ramanujacharya, before his departure, he appointed Parashara Bhatta as his successor. Once Parashara Bhatta, he went in front of Lord Ranganath and he was taking darshan of Lord Ranganath. When he was taking darshan of Lord Ranganath, Ranganath asked him that, you are taking my darshan, can you describe my beauty? Can you describe my qualities? So then Parashara Bhatta said, yeah, I will describe my qualities, but I want a benediction. I need something for that. So then Lord said, so what do you want? He said, please give me 1,000 mouths with capacity for composing exquisite poetry. So then the Lord was little surprised, and then he said, okay, I will give you this. Then Lord gave 1,000 mouths with the capacity for composing exquisite poetry. Then Parashara Bhatta got the 1,000 mouths. And then Lord said, okay, now you describe about my qualities. Then he started looking the Supreme Lord from his lotus feet to the top. And then he said that it is not possible to describe your qualities. It is not possible to describe your beauty. Then Lord Ranganath, he was a little disturbed. And then he said, did you think that, did you think that after getting these 1,000 mouths, it would be possible to describe the qualities? Is that the reason that you asked for the 1,000 mouths? You asked for the 1,000 mouths from me and I gave you the 1,000 mouths. But what was your thought in the beginning? Did you think that after getting the 1,000 mouths, did you think that you would be able to describe my beauty and qualities? Is that the reason that you ask for the 1,000 mouths? Then Parashar Bhatta said, actually, I knew very well in the first instance that even if I get 1,000 mouths with the capacity for composing exquisite poetry, it would not be possible to describe your qualities. Then the Lord said, if you knew very well in the first instance that even with the 1,000 mouths it would not be possible to describe my qualities, then why did you ask for the 1,000 mouths? So Parashar Bhatta said, actually, I could have said that it is not possible to describe your qualities with one mouth. But people would not have taken my word seriously. So after getting the 1,000 mouths with the capacity for exquisite poetry, then if I say that your glories are unlimited, it is not possible to describe your qualities, then people would take my word seriously, then they would understand about the unlimited nature of your qualities. So in order to say that it is not possible to describe your qualities, it requires a qualification. In order to get that qualification, I ask for the 1,000 mouths. So therefore, this is the nature of, unlimited nature of the Lord's qualities. And so one of the names of the Supreme Lord is Aprameya. Aprameya means, of course, it's a very beautiful verse in the Ramayana. Because we will not be discussing that verse, but Tara is actually speaking glorification of Lord Ram, and she is calling Lord Ram by the word Aprameya. Aprameya, it means that one of the meaning is that even the Lord does not know his glories. Even the Lord himself does not know his own glories, his the extent of his glories. So once the disciples of Quraysh is a disciple of Ramanujacharya. It's also called as Kurat Ajwan. So the disciples of Quraysh, they asked Quraysh that you say that the Lord is Sarvagya, he's all-knowing. But if the Lord does not know the extent of his glories, how can the Lord be called as Sarvagya? How can he be called as Sarvagya? So then Quraysh replied. He composed a verse in his Shri Stava, glorification of Lakshmi Devi and Lord Narayan, that he says that there are some people, like for example, you say the lotus in a sky or the horn of a rabbit. So these things are some unreal things. There cannot be any lotus in the sky. There cannot be a horn of a rabbit. If somebody knows about the lotus in the sky, somebody knows about the horn of a rabbit, then it doesn't make sense because these things don't exist only. So therefore, if somebody is not aware of the horn of a rabbit, if somebody is not aware of the lotus in a sky, that does not disqualify that person from being all-knowing. Because these things do not exist only. So similarly, the fact that the Lord's glories have a limit is actually an unreal thing. The Lord's glories have a limit. It is actually unreal. It is like the horn of a rabbit. It is like the lotus in the sky. So when somebody is not aware of an unreal thing, that does not disqualify him from being a sarvagya, from being an all-knowing. Because these things do not exist. So the disciples of Quraysh, they argued, their argument was that, because the Lord does not know his glories, the Lord does not know the extent of his glories, he cannot be called a sarvagya. But the Quraysh replied, actually, your argument is invalid because the Lord is not aware of an unreal thing. and somebody is not aware of an unreal thing, that does not actually disqualify him from being a sarvajna. The Lord's glories have a limit that is actually an unreal thing. And he is not aware of that. So therefore, he is actually, your argument is invalid to say that he is not sarvajna. And the same point is described by Brahmaji in his 10th canto. Gunatmana stepi gunan vimatum kalena yairva gunatmana stepi gunan vimatum. He say, Brahmaji is explaining that even if a person is able to count the number of sand particles, or even if a person is able to count the number of snow particles, or even if a person is able to count the number of light particles, one will never be able to count the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord. And Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the personalities like Sankarshan, they have actually managed to count all these things, but they have never been able to count the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord. So the same point is this about the unlimited nature of the Lord's qualities. So with this background, I'll describe about some of the qualities of Krishna. So we discussed the two concepts regarding the Krishna's qualities. The first concept is that how Krishna is flexible in the display of his qualities. We discussed that concept. And the second concept we discussed about the unlimited nature of the Lord's qualities. So now I'll describe about some of the qualities. So for example, one of the quality of Krishna is called as Tejiya. Tejiya means, Rupa Goswami, when he gives different qualities, each quality has got two categories or two aspects of each quality. So Krishna is called as Tejasvi. So Tejasvi has got two parts. One is one who is effulgent and one who has the capacity to conquer others. And for each of that he gives a quote. For example, he says that the host of jewels on the body of Krishna, they are so effulgent that they can defeat even the luster of the sun. But these hosts of the jewels, when compared with the bodily luster of Krishna, these jewels are like the small stars in the sky. This shows the effulgence of the body of Krishna. And another aspect of Tejasvi is that capacity to conquer others. So when Krishna was present in the wrestling arena, even Chanur and Mushtik, they became attracted by the body of Krishna. They became conquered by Krishna's beauty. They became conquered. In fact, they became afraid and perturbed with the thought of killing him in the battle. And and there are qualities of Krishna. Krishna is actually speech. So we'll discuss some of the qualities of Krishna's speech. So one of the quality of Krishna's speech is that wonderful linguist, Vivida Adbhuta Bhashavit. So Krishna actually would speak, Krishna knew the language of the Vrajavasis. Krishna knew the language of the demigods. Krishna knew the language of the birds, animals, and also the people from different other regions. Krishna knew that way Krishna could speak actually so many wonderful, could understand and also speak and reply in different languages. And another quality of Krishna's speech is truthful, satya vakya. So one who never breaks his promise, one whose word of honor is never broken, is called a truthful. So there is a beautiful verse which says that satye pratishtitam Krishna, satyam atre pratishtitam. Truth is situated in Krishna and Krishna is situated in truth. Satyat satyam cha Govinda. Satyat satyam cha Govinda means Krishna is more truthful than truth itself. and therefore he is called as Satya. Tasmai Satyohi Namatah. Therefore he is called as Satya. So this is like Krishna's quality of actually truthfulness. In fact, the demigods pray that Satya Vratam Satya Param Trisatyam. So there they explain that in order to attain Krishna, who is truthful, one also has to be truthful. So the qualification to attain Krishna also, one should be truthful. Another quality of Krishna's speech is Priyam Vadaha. Priyam Vadaha means a pleasing talker. So a pleasing talker. Yeah, before we go to this, like the same about Krishna's speech, about Lord Ram's speech is also described in Ramayana. So there are three qualities of Lord Ram's speech. One quality is that he speaks with sweetly. So when you talk about sweetness of the speech, sweetness is not necessarily in the voice of the person, rather it is in the tone and the content of what he speaks. So the power to inspire comes from what confidence and encouragement we give to the person with whom we speak. So Lord Ram would speak very, very sweetly. So the same thing is described, pleasing talker. Another quality of Lord Ram's speech is that Mitabhashi. Mitabhashi means he would be concise in his presentation. Now, so eloquence means to speak meaningfully in fewer words but with everlasting effects. You speak meaningfully, speak few words, but it has everlasting effects. So again, this quality is also described by Rupa Goswami. Krishna would speak few words, but those few words would have volumes of meanings. Volumes of meanings. So, and another quality, very interesting quality of Lord Ram's speech is that Purva Bhashi. Purva Bhashi means he would be the first to start the conversation. So the art of speech, like to speak first, it actually requires humility. Sometimes when people are actually very intelligent or very beautiful or somebody very rich or something, they would not want to start the conversation in the beginning. They would want others to come and talk to them and then they would speak. But Lord Ram is called as Purva Bhashi. That means he would speak first in order to make others comfortable. So speaking first to make others comfortable is not simply a skill. Rather, it shows the heart of the person which is rooted in humility. Which is rooted in humility and simplicity. So it's a very beautiful quality of Lord Ram. So therefore, that's why Chanakya Pandit, he said that, why should we be calculative in speaking sweet words and smiling with the people? Because it does not cost anything, but it has everlasting effects. But the effects are priceless. So here, Krishna's quality is Priyam Vadaha. Priyam Vadaha means that one who can speak in a pleasing way, even to the enemies, and then pacify that person, is called as Priyam Vadaha. So after subduing Kaliya, I think I spoke about this qualities previously also, now I'm remembering. So after subduing Kaliya, Krishna actually spoke in such a pleasing manner to Kaliya. He said that, see, it is my duty to actually protect the cows. So therefore, I had to actually deal with you in such a harsh manner. I had to punish you. Because after all, as a Vaishya, my duty was to protect the cows. So please don't be sorry with what, with my punches and with my actually kicks upon you. And in this way, when Krishna spoke in that manner, Kaliya became pacified. So there is, we can see, Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna said that it is my duty to protect the cows which are worshipped even by the demigods. So Krishna personally demonstrated the importance of cow protection which are worshipable even for the demigods. So Prabhupada writes in a section in the Light of Bhagavata. Sometimes people say that cow protection is some sentimental Hindus actually, they talk about cow protection. He says that cow protection is not just meant for India, it is meant for all over the world. It is meant for all the people all over the world. He says that the animal, cow's milk is very important for human energy, and the economic development of society depends on sufficient food grains. And Lord Krishna, by his personal example, taught us the importance of cow protection, which is meant not only meant for the Indian climate, but for all human beings all over the universe. So cow's milk is called as gorasa. It is called as gorasa, juice from the body of the cow. And it is such a important thing, which actually nourishes the brain tissues. And in that way gives capacity for actually understanding spiritual subject matters. So why we see that nowadays people are hardly interested in philosophy, or even when they hear philosophy, they are not able to understand the philosophy. One of the reasons is that they are not drinking cow's milk. Drinking cow's milk is actually very much connected with the capacity to understand philosophy, because the capacity to understand philosophy is dependent on the nourishing of the brain tissues, which comes by drinking cow's milk. So, and Prabhupada writes that the killing of cows by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies. It is one of the grossest suicidal policies, and those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. So, we see nowadays, the different parts of the world, there are so many actually wars are taking place. So, they are addressing the wars in a superficial manner, but the one of the root cause of these wars is that there is unwarranted animal killing, especially the killing of the cows. As long as the killing of the cows, as long as the killing of the animals, which is not sanctioned by the scriptures when they are taking place, there will be bound to be wars. You cannot avoid that. So therefore he says that killing of the cows is one of the grossest suicidal policies of the government. So then another point Prabhupada writes that if we really want to cultivate the human spirit in society, we must have two things. First class people to guide the society, that is brahmanas, and to develop the finer tissues of our brains, we need to drink cow's milk. So without these two personalities, brahmanas and the cows, it is very difficult to cultivate the human spirit. So many people, even many motivational speakers, they talk about being human, but in order to cultivate the human spirit, we need the brahmanas who can guide the society, and we need to drink cow's milk. That means we need to actually protect the cows. So, and therefore Prabhupada writes, ends by saying that, so we need to protect the cow to derive the highest benefit from this most important animal. The protection of the cows is therefore is not merely a religious sentiment of some Hindus or something. It is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. And Krishna personally demonstrated cow protection, and that is why he actually subdued Kaliya, and then he actually spoke in a pleasing manner to actually pacify Kaliya. So in this way there are so many wonderful qualities. For example, another quality is called as highly intelligent, supanditya. Supanditya means it has two aspects. One who is knowledgeable of all the scriptures, and one who has good conduct. One who knows how to deal with different people. So he says that Krishna, when he went to, it's a beautiful analogy, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna is like a ocean, which is a reservoir of all the knowledge of the Vedas. So Brahma, Lord Brahma, received the Vedas from Krishna, just like the clouds receive water from the ocean. And then the clouds actually pour forth the rains, and then the rains fall on the mountain. So Brahmaji, he actually disseminated knowledge. That knowledge came through disciplic succession, and then Sandipani Muni received that knowledge. Sandipani Muni is like the mountain. And then mountains are the source of the rivers. Rivers emanate from the mountain, and then the rivers ultimately flow towards the ocean. It joins the ocean. So similarly, Sandipani Muni received the knowledge from Brahma, and Sandipani Muni gave the knowledge to Krishna, who is the ocean, who is the original source of the water, the original source of all the knowledge. And he gives a beautiful analogy. He says that the knowledge, Vidya Devi is like a bride. So Vidya Devi, when she understood that Krishna has come to the ashram of Sandipani Muni to learn knowledge from Sandipani Muni, so Vidya Devi became very eager to serve Krishna. So Vidya is like a bride, and so Vidya is the knowledge. So the knowledge has 14 parts. It's called a Chaturdasha Vidya. Chaturdasha Vidya is the four Vedas. Four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva. And there are six Vedangas. Six Vedangas are the Jyotisha Shastra, the Shastra of which teaches how to pronounce the Vedic mantras. The Nirukti, the dictionary part of the Vedas. Like that, there are like three more. And the Chandas, the meters. And grammar, Vyakaran. And the rules of ritual, Kalpa. In this way, the six Vedangas are there. 4 plus 6, 10. And then the Puranas, Bhagavat, Puranas. And the Nyaya Shastra, Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa and Purva Mimamsa. In this way, there are 14 branches of knowledge. So this Vidya Devi, she is like a bride. And just like this bride comes from a good dynasty. So the dynasty is compared to the four Vedas. So she comes from the dynasty of the four Vedas. And this bride is having a beautiful six bodily parts. Her nose was very beautiful, her torso was very beautiful, her two hands and two feet were very beautiful. That means the six bodily parts of the bride were compared to the six Vedangas. And this not only bride is having a good, beautiful bodily features, but she is also having a good conduct. So that good conduct is compared to the Nyaya Shastra. And this bride is actually assisted and trained by the elders. And the elders are compared to the Puranas. And this bride, she is also having good deliberation. She knows, she deliberates properly and she makes a proper decision. The deliberation, the quality of deliberation is compared to the Mimamsa. So in this way, that this bride endowed with this 14 good qualities, and seeing that Krishna has come to learn from Sandipani Muni, she became eager to serve Krishna. So Rupa Goswami gives this example to show that how Krishna is actually having all the knowledge. Because even the knowledge personified, the bride is actually eager to serve Krishna. And also, knowledge is, supanditim is not simply theoretical knowledge, it also knows how you actually deal with different people, how you respect different personalities. So the modern universities, they only teach some theoretical knowledge, some theoretical information. But the people from the modern universities, they don't know how to respect the people. The conduct is not there. But the real actually, supanditya means not only being knowledgeable of all the scriptures, but also knowing how to deal with, how to respect different people. So Krishna also was expert in the good conduct. The sense that Krishna was death personified for the thieves. He is like the spring breeze for the pious people, and is Cupid for the young women, and is like a desire tree for the poverty stricken, and he is like the cooling moon for his friends, and he is the fire of destruction in the form of Rudra for the enemies. In this way, Krishna displays the quality of good conduct. And another quality of Krishna is that Krishna's quality of being grateful. So this quality is something so important, because when we understand this quality, we can understand the consciousness of Krishna. So when you understand the consciousness of Krishna, to become Krishna conscious will become very easy. So this is a society for, international society for Krishna consciousness. But in order to become Krishna conscious, the easiest process to understand, to become Krishna conscious, is to understand the consciousness of Krishna. To understand the consciousness of Krishna, this quality of Krishna, of being grateful, that is something we have to understand, this quality. So Krishna's quality of grateful, Rupa Goswami says that when Krishna was thinking that when I was away from Draupadi, Draupadi cried out with the words, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." This call of Draupadi has put me in her depth, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. So we want to invest money in some investment scheme in such a way that the money keeps on growing. Suppose we invest in some particular scheme, and suppose that's a share market or something goes up and down, and the money suddenly, the value of the money decreases. We want actually the money to keep on growing. We want to invest in something so that there will be continuous increase in the returns. So the best investment we can do is to chant the holy names of Krishna, because this investment, when we chant the holy names of Krishna, Krishna feels an indebtedness towards that devotee, and that indebtedness he feels towards the devotee is actually increasing as time progresses. It actually increases as time progresses. So therefore Prabhupada says that, so to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. So therefore, when Krishna was going back to spiritual world, so Krishna was thinking, was feeling repentant. He was feeling that, I did not go in time to save Draupadi. So Krishna was feeling bad about that. So Krishna was feeling that this was the fault I displayed, that I did not go in time to save Draupadi. So one Sri Vaishnava devotee, Andal, she is a female Alwar. So she writes in her poem, she says that, Kurayondrum illai Govinda. That means that there is no fault in you, Lord Govinda, because when your holy name is there, you are feeling that you have displayed the fault by not going in time to save Draupadi. But actually, there is no fault in you as long as your holy name is there. Because your holy name did the needful by actually, by supplying the unlimited saris to Draupadi, to protect Draupadi. So therefore, the devotee is trying to pacify Krishna by saying that, there is no fault in you, as long as your holy name is there. So we can see this quality of Krishna's gratitude is important to understand, because by that we understand the consciousness of Krishna. That is why there is another prayer in the 10th canto, where Akrura is saying that Krishna does not forget even the insignificant service rendered by a devotee, even if the devotee himself has forgotten that service. although even if the devotee himself may forgotten, but Krishna never forgets that service. So this is the quality of Krishna, is actually gratitude. So I'll just discuss few more qualities and then we'll end. And yeah, there is another interesting quality that the 26th quality of Krishna is called as how he is grave. How he is grave. Grave means nobody can understand what is going on in the mind of Krishna. Krishna does not express his mind, and his plan is difficult to understand. Others cannot understand his plan very easily. So, for example, Rupa Goswami gives an example. When Brahmaji offered prayers to Krishna, Brahmaji offered 40 prayers to Krishna. That is the second longest prayers in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vishnu Chakravartakur is glorifying those prayers in such profound, exquisite poetry. He just glorifies those prayers. And Brahmaji, after he offered those prayers, he asked for Krishna, please give me the permission to go back to the Satya Loka. But Krishna actually did not say anything. Krishna did not even acknowledge Brahmaji, because Krishna did not want to actually come out of his actually role as a cowherd boy. Brahmaji offered the prayers glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Lord, but Krishna did not want to come out of his role as a cowherd boy. So Brahmaji could not understand what is in the mind of Krishna. So Brahmaji is the most intelligent person, but he could not understand what was going on in the mind of Krishna, what was the plan of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami gives this example of how Krishna is grave, nobody can understand his mind. And another quality of Krishna, he says the quality how he is daksha, how he is actually expert. So expert means, he says that one who can perform a very difficult task in a very short time is called a daksha. So he gives an amazing example. One example he gives is that when he was fighting with Jarasandha came with 21 Akshauhini divisions of the soldiers, and all these people attacked, but Krishna, within a short time, Krishna shot 3 arrows at each and every soldier. Like 21 Akshauhini divisions of soldiers, it is like a huge number, like lakhs and crores of people. But Krishna shot 3 arrows at each and every person and killed each of them in a very short time. So therefore, one who can perform the most difficult task in a short time. And when he was fighting with Bhaumasur, and there are so many lakhs of soldiers who are actually attacking Bhaumasur with their arrows. So they shot arrows at Krishna. So what Krishna did was that, Krishna shot arrows at them. First, Krishna shot the arrows at the people who throw the tridents and the arrows. First, Krishna destroyed all those people by shooting 3 arrows at each of them. And then Krishna threw the arrows at the weapons which were in the air, which was coming towards them. So usually, when somebody has released a weapon, first you attack the weapon and then you attack the person. Because before you aim the person first, then by the time the weapon can come and attack you. So what Krishna first attacked all those people who actually shot arrows, one by one releasing arrows, 3 arrows at each of them. And then he shot arrows at the weapons which were thrown by them, which were actually unlimited in number. So he performed such a difficult task in a short time, so therefore he is called as Daksha. So in this way, there are so many wonderful qualities. And the lastly, this quality of being religious. So religious means one who personally practices dharma and also teaches others to engage in dharma. So Krishna, when he was present in the planet, he was performing so many sacrifices that Rupa Goswami says that the demigods would be coming regularly. They would have to all the time be in Dwaraka in order to accept the sacrificial offerings. And so because of that, the wives of the demigods, they were not getting the time from their husbands. So they, all the time the demigods were actually going to take part in the sacrifices performed by Krishna. So wives of the demigods, they felt, oh, we are not getting the time from our husbands. And they started praying for the appearance of Buddha, so that he would come and stop the sacrifices. Because Buddha came and actually preached rejecting of the Vedas to stop the sacrifices. So, of course, it is just in a sarcastic manner, it is explained that to the extent of sacrifices performed by Krishna, extent of the sacrifice performed by Krishna for establishing dharma. And Krishna also taught dharma. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that naiva tasya kritenartho na kriteneha kashchana nachasya sarvabhuteshu kashchidartha vyapashaya. He says that one who is self-satisfied, for him he does not have any duties to perform. He doesn't have any obligations. And he doesn't have any some fruitive intentions or motivations. But then Krishna says, karma naiva hi samsiddhim astito janakadaya loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartumargasi. But although a self-satisfied person does not have any obligations to perform, does not have any duties to perform, but still, even such a self-satisfied person, for the sake of teaching others, he should actually perform those duties in the spirit of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Just like Janaka Maharaj performed the duties in order to teach the common people. In this way, Krishna is teaching Arjuna that Prabhupada says that Krishna and Arjuna, they don't have any duties to perform. But still, when a devotee is part of a larger society of people, we are not simply part of the society of the community of devotees, we are also part of the larger society of common people. So in order to teach them, one has to perform the different dharmic duties in the spirit of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And that is what Krishna says in Karma Naivagi Simsiddhim Astito Janakadaya. And lastly, there is this point in the 10th canto when Krishna was teasing Rukmini. Krishna was telling to Rukmini that actually you are lacking in foresight. You have made a wrong choice in accepting me as the husband. You are basically a short-sighted person. You did not thoroughly analyze all the other options, and then without considering all the options, you actually married me. So suppose a person marries, like a man marries a girl or a woman marries a man. So without properly analyzing, without properly seeing the character and background, and somebody, just because of the external infatuation when a person marries, and then later when they come to know about the background, this one, they feel that, oh, they made a wrong choice. Or somebody takes up a particular college, or joins a particular college, or takes up a particular job, by being affected by the external certain things, and then later he comes to know that, why did I choose this particular job? I have made a bond. Now if I have to quit this job, I have to pay so much of money or something. So similarly, Krishna was saying that, so many times people make decisions without actually analyzing, because of short-sightedness. So Krishna also accused Rukmini by that. But Rukmini said, actually I did not lack any short-sightedness. In fact, I made an exhaustive universal appraisal of all the personalities present in the whole universe, and then I made the choice of marrying you. I even took the considered the options of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the controllers of the different planets, because all these personalities, they are actually destroyed in due course of time, and whatever benedictions they offer, that is also destroyed in due course of time. After analyzing all these personalities, after making a thorough, exhaustive, universal appraisal, then I made the choice of marrying you. So it is not I who lacked short-sightedness, whereas you did not actually understand my far-sightedness. In this way, Rukmini is actually counter-arguing with Krishna. So in this way, so Rupa Goswami gives this example how to show that how a devotee is very thoughtful. Rukmini Devi, after thoroughly considering all the options, then she chose. It's not because of certain this one. That is why Brahmaji explains in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Brahma Katsyena Trir Anviksha Manishaya Tad Adhyavasyat Kutastho Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. He says that Brahmaji, after studying the Vedas three times with great concentration and with great scrutiny, and after thorough deliberation, he came to the understanding that Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet, that means that to develop attraction to the Supreme Lord is actually the essence of the Vedas. So in this way, when we understand the qualities of Krishna, we have to understand how Krishna displays the qualities. To summarize, we discussed about the concept of how Krishna is flexible in the display of his qualities, how Krishna displays his qualities in an unlimited manner. Krishna's qualities are unlimited. And we discussed some of the qualities of Krishna's speech, Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's how he is expert, Daksha, how he is religious. And then we discussed the Rukmini Devi's quality of being thoughtful in choosing Krishna as the husband, after making a thorough, exhaustive, universal appraisal. So with this, I think I would like to end here. Anybody has any questions? Any one question we'll take? Yes. Or anybody has any comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, today's lecture was very fantastic, and you mentioned about the qualities of Krishna, but the names of Krishna itself denotes many qualities like Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Adhokshaja. There are many names of Krishna mentioned in Vishnu Sahasranam. So they are themselves qualities of the Supreme Lord. And plus in Nectar of Devotion also, it is one and the same like...
Thank you for the comments, Ro. Nectar of Devotion, what are you saying? So, names of the Krishna are also actually, they talk about different qualities, because qualities of Krishna also described in his names. It is true, actually. And Rupa Goswami is specially, separately also displaying the finer nuances of the different qualities.
Hare Krishna.
The Nectar of Devotion.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So there is a very serious announcement. Please be seated for some time, please. आप लोग जहां भी हैं वहां पे बैठे रहिए कुछ क्षण के लिए. हरे कृष्णा. इट्स अ वेरी सीरियस रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी. लॉट ऑफ स्किल्स एंड क्वालिफिकेशंस नीडेड फॉर दिस. सो दीज टू डिवोटीज आर सीकिंग ब्लेसिंग्स फ्रॉम ऑल ऑफ यू. दे ऑलरेडी टेकन ब्लेसिंग्स फ्रॉम देयर पेरेंट्स. दे हैव डिसाइडेड